أحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن بعض الظن إثم، صدق الله العظيم. Today we're going to talk on a topic which most of us are facing this problem. The problem of thoughts. Every day of our life, we have thoughts that stores in our mind. There are approximately 1 million impulses that goes in our brain per day. 1 million. This is how fast our brain works by the Qudrat of Allah. And in the process, when a person wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many thoughts that goes in his heart. Many, many thoughts. These thoughts, at times, it's so bad that it comes in riwayat. Sahaba kiram, ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, used to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would say, Ya Rasulullah, these are the type of thoughts that's coming in our mind. It's really distracting us. What are we supposed to do to control those thoughts? At times we find riwayat where Sahabi say they want to destroy themselves, they can't contain the type of thoughts that's come in their mind. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this effect that this is a good evidence of your iman. Because a thief will only go in a house which has some value in there. If you have iman in you, then only the shaitan will come in you. Try to steal good amal from you and make us do bad actions. So thoughts are things that keeps on coming, flashing in our mind every day, every night, even in our sleep, we are troubled with thoughts. And when a person is a salik, a person who wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he has taken the path of tazkiyah, where he wants to reform his heart, and this is where shaitan will sit more with him. This is where the nafs will come sit with more with him. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, we're going to discuss it later, will put this type of bad thought in him as well as a test. This is why you will find that most great akabir, great wali of Allah, you will find that a stage in their life, because of those thoughts, they go in a straight state of depression. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, for example, when he was pondering, all type of thoughts were coming in his mind. He was maybe the greatest scholar of his time. And yet, when he had to face reality of life, he withdrew himself for about 1.5 years. Nothing to do. He wanted to think properly. Because those thoughts at times confuse a person. You will find Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, great mufassir, for 40 days he went in seclusion, trying to think about himself. And the best example is the best example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to retrieve, who go in seclusion in the Maghari Hira to ponder, because thoughts keeps on flashing in his mind. Who is Allah? How do I come close to Allah? Seeing the pagan of Mecca doing it, involved in polytheism, this was worrying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thoughts is something which keeps on coming in our mind. What are thoughts? What is the definition of thought? Allama Qushayri rahmullah mentions that thought are declarations. These are type of talkings that arrive, that manifest in the awareness level, in our intellect. These are talks that come from our heart, but it reaches a level of awareness. Then this becomes a thought. It is molded into a thought. So these thoughts are of two types. It can be good thought or evil thought. And as a salik, as a person who wants to purify his heart, a person who wants to make the tazkiyah, Allah Pak the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Verily, that person who has purified himself, who has opted to purify his heart from all the bad manners, from all the akhlaq razila, all the bad manners, and put good spiritual action in his heart, the akhlaq hamida, this person is successful. And then we start striving in this path to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Quran is clear about it. I mentioned many times, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبِ سَلِيمٍ. On that day of Qiyamah, nothing will benefit you, neither your wealth, neither your children, except that person who comes to Allah in Maidan al-Hashr with qalbi salim. A qalb which has an iman, a qalb which has been purified, a heart which is clean from lust, from all the bad manners, a heart which is clean from jealousy, which is clean from hasad, from takabbur, from kibr, from riya, from all those bad manners. And then this qalb has been imbued with patience, with sabr, with taqwa, with khawf, with rida, all the good qualities that we have been talking about. When we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Maidan al-Hashr with this type of heart, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Quran, on that day our awliya, our friend, that day where everybody's heart was beating out of fear, on that day, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There are two things that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that those people have purified their heart. There are two things, two gifts they were going to have on Maidan al-Hashr, when we're going to give Hisab Kitab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We won't have khawf, we are not going to have fear, and we are not going to have huzn, we are not going to have sadness. What a great gift! What a great gift it is. It is mentioned in a hadith, with the difference between one subhanallah, the difference with one subhanallah, a person will say one subhanallah, when he will turn in Jannah, there will be fragrance coming. They will say, who is this person who has fragrance from one Jannah above me? He said, one subhanallah above you. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this huzn, we have not wasted our youth, we haven't wasted our time, we haven't wasted our knowledge, we haven't wasted our time, our amal, all have been canalized to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our purpose, is to purify ourselves. But in the process of purifying ourselves, our nafs will not leave us in chains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to progress in and test on us. Our shaitan will sit with us. It comes in a hadith that when a person is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints a shaitan with him, and the shaitan settles the left hand side of the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time appoints a farishta with that person called Muhim, and he will sit on the right hand side of the qalb, of the heart. And this is where you will find this kashmakash in us. We're going to fight in ourselves. Every now and then we go through a depression. We read namaz, there's no contrition. We read tirawat, we don't feel like crying. We make dua, there's no khushu in our dua. We go through all those type of mental depression, spiritual depression, all type of thought, has Allah neglected me? In fact, we read the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look at the shan and nuzul, the sabab and nuzul of wad-duha, why wad-duha was revealed. First, the Meccans, it's a very high depression Rasulullah went through. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, then Surah Muddathir, Muzammil. Then the ulama explained for about 3 years there was no revelation came to Rasulullah. Then the Meccans started swearing at Rasulullah, laughing at him, joking at him, fooling at him. Where is this angel you were saying coming to you? Where is this Jibreel that you're talking about you? Where is he? No new message coming? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this three years gap? Maybe 2 years, the ikhtilaf among the riwayat. But the point is, there was a gap where there was no wahi coming. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a sponge, you put water in it. If you throw a lot of water in the sponge, it will have not a good effect. Little, it has a good effect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Rasulullah to start thinking, to put his thinking right, his thinking, his thought process, his thought right, who is Jibreel alayhi salam? What is wahi? What is happening to him? He got to adjust himself with this spiritual life. So in adjusting yourself in this spiritual life, you got to have a lot of thought comes in you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a gift, was revealed وَالضَّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. You read the tafsir of وَالضَّحَى وَالسُّكُونَ chain, itminan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking qasam on the coolness of the night, the tranquility of the night, that I haven't forgotten you, Ya Rasul. So you go through this process. Rasulullah went in Ghari Hira because all the thought was within him. How can I come close to my Allah? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When this came, there is a type of process that we go through. And this is what we have seen in the life of Sahaba Kiram, the life of Imam Sayyuti, Imam Al-Ghazali, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. If you read the life of all those great personalities, they all went through this process. This is why it's very, very important to understand what are the thoughts that goes in our mind when we take the path of tasawwuf, when we want to purify our heart. So there are two types of thought. Thought, what are the origin of thought that goes in our mind? The first type of thought that can come is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thought can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif, it's mentioned that the heart of man is between the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's molded the way he wants. We can't do anything. How we know this thought is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because there are too many types of thoughts coming in our mind. Ulama Kiram explained, when the thought is so strong, with resoluteness, you cannot evade it. You try to do your utmost to remove the thought, yet it's not going. Do this bad action. It is from Allah. It's just not you do zikr, you do tilawat, but this thought is well anchored in your heart. You got to do this bad action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. Allah is testing you. What we must do, there's only one solution, Ulama Kiram says. When we do our tilawat, our zikr, and yet there's a resoluteness in this thought in us, we must do this bad action, then it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's only one way, turn to Allah. Only Allah can sort out this problem for us. Not our own aman. The second is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is a good action, how do we know it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ulama Kiram explained, this good action is so well anchored in our heart that there is no peace in our heart until we do not do this good action. There is no chain, no tranquility. You find in hadith where Rasulullah s.a.w. somebody sent dinar for him. He told Bilal, go and distribute it. Bilal went. Bilal came at night and said, "Ya Bilal, what's happening? Ya Rasulullah, there's still some dinar." "No, Bilal, distribute this dinar." Because the hadith sharif, Rasulullah says in the hadith that a Nabi does not leave behind him as inheritance dinar or dirham. Nabi do not leave dinar and dirham. So Rasulullah has this figure, how am I going to go to Allah with this dinar and dirham in my possession? So he said, get rid of it. So you haven't got peace of mind until we do not do this good action. This is a sign that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, your heart is not at ease until this action hasn't been fulfilled. This is a good sign that Allah wants you to do this good action. The second level is, if the bad action, it was there, and after a person, na'udhu billah min zalik, we have done this bad action. Allah nakare, to do today with this liberal life, a person involved with a girl, and he's involved in zina. Instead of having regret now, he wants to involve in zina again. This now, Ulama Kiram explained, this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this thought is coming again in him. For the sin that he has made, he has not been able to control his thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him and finishing him in this guna. Make gharq, drown him in the guna. May Allah protect us. This type of thought comes in our mind. First, we control our gaze. We don't look at women. Then suddenly our gaze starts going. We went in the marketplace, especially in summer. Now we know what is happening. Then we were not looking at all. Now we take it a habit of checking everyone now. This one is walking, this one is walking, this one. And what is happening? We don't realize it. We have beard, kurta, amama, we're doing salah, everything. But it's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't even know. Now our gaze is going in the market, checking all the women walking. It is a punishment from Allah, brothers, but we don't even know. This thought comes. I'm going to explain how the thought process comes in our mind. But we got to realize the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are involving guna. This is about from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm giving very mukhtasar because of time. The second type of thought that will come is, we have a thought, it comes, then we make zikr, it goes away. We make some zikr, it goes away. This thought is from shaitan. This thought is from shaitan. But at times we get under the thought, which we have with a strong resoluteness. We make zikr also, it doesn't weaken. But it's like static in our heart. The thought is static. It's not increasing, it's not decreasing. Then Ulama Kiram says, this thought is from our nafs, our ego. And this is the most difficult part. This is the most difficult part to control. When thought comes from our nafs, from our desires, nafs is the capacity to have desires in us. And Ulama Kiram explained, when we do a good action, and we are delighted with this good action, We are hasty in doing this good action. And we are not having any worries whatsoever about the consequences of this good action. It is from our nafs. This is how our nafs trade with us. We went for Chanda to build masjid, for example. But then we talk. We're going to apply minaras. We're going to do this type of carpet, blah, blah, blah. What? We're in a hurry to get the money. Then we come, okay, start construction masjid now. And we don't worry, this is the money of people. This is from nafs. We are not constructing this masjid for the pleasure of Allah. This masjid is being constructed because our nafs is telling us to do good action, and this is no khair in it. This is how our nafs play with us. These are the three things we have to check, whether it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether it is from us. If we take unchecked delight, unchecked happiness in this action, number one, we don't worry about the consequences about this. And we say also, we're in haste to do it. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, Al-anatu min Allah wal-ujjatu min ash-shaytan. To do work fast to do work, without thinking properly, this is from shaitan. But to do work, calmly, cool, dhikr wa istikhara, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallah, if there's khair in it, make me success. Our gaze is not to do the work. Our gaze is, when we give this notion of doing this work, we are fearful about Allah. Will my Rabb be happy if I do this action? This our Rabb would be happy if I do this action. In akhirat, will it be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the fikr of the thought. When we control, we monitor this thought, then we know it is good. If not, it is from not. This is why we have to differentiate when thought comes to our mind. The fourth source of thought that comes to our heart is good thought from a farishta called Mulhim. Mulhim will give us guidance. He doesn't give us wrong. At times, the difference between the thought from Mulhim, from this angel, and the difference between the one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explained, the one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot resist but doing it good. But the one from Mulhim, at times we can resist it, we can oppose it. This is why we have to differentiate between all the thought that comes in our mind when we want to do good actions, when we want to make tilawat al-Quran, when we want to make our salah. At times, I gave you the example last week about Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and Iblis. If you remember last week, I told you a waqiyah when Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, one day he could not read his tahajjud salah. He missed his tahajjud. The following day he sits and cry. The whole day he has regret in his life. He missed rakat tahajjud. The following night somebody came and woke him up. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Iblis. I came to wake you up to read your tahajjud." He said, "Why?" He said, "Yesterday I didn't let you read your tahajjud. You cry so much. You ask for istighfar so much. Allah has increased your darja, your status. Better read your tahajjud. Your status doesn't go up." So this was the halat. We must be careful. The shaitan plays with us. At times we think we are doing a good action. But if our class is not there, niyat is not there, it's very, very difficult. I was reading a very beautiful maqala today, the Waz of Mawlana Idris Kandalawi Sahib Rahmatullah, a great muhaddith. He says, on niyat itself, he was just giving an example when we come to the masjid to make niyat, how important the thought that must come, how we must nurture thought. It's an ajeeb process. When you learn the al-kabir, how they think. He says, we come to masjid, we must make niyat. This is the house of Allah. Oh Allah, we're going to be your mehman. Second, we're going to meet our brothers. Oh Allah, we're going to meet your brothers, our brother in Islam here. We're going to make, oh Allah, we're going to make ibadat. Oh Allah, we're going to come here. Oh Allah, we're going to read namaz in jamaat, 28 times more sawab. Oh Allah, we're going to come here. There is farishta here. Let us live in the barakat of the farishta. There are 20, 30 niyats he gave us to make when we come to masjid. How to nurture thought, that in itself is a process to learn, to sit and learn from the akabir, from the elders. Because our mind will never remain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it like this, our mind can never remain vacuum, empty. Either shaitan will work in our mind, or our nafs will work in our mind, or mulhim will work in our mind, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will work in our mind. Our mind can never remain empty. Even if we sleep, we're going to dream, isn't it? Why we dream? There are three theories on dream. I don't want to go in details of dream. Either shaitan will come in our dream, or farishta will come in our dream, or it will be nafs coming from our dream, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in our dream. It is a report about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu alayhi wa sallam. rahmatullah alayh, about he dreaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh has said, how can you a person dream of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah says in the Quran, you cannot encompass Allah. Yeah, you cannot make idraq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have ru'ya of Allah, but not idraq of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests himself through his sifat in our dream. At times, a very old man coming. There are many, many ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come in dreams. That's another topic on its own, about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dreams. So, the thought that comes in our mind needs to be monitored, brothers. Very, very important. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ بَعْضَ ذَنِّ إِثْمًا. Some our thought is guna. At times, we make thought. We don't do any action. But just thinking, either we elevate ourselves or we disgrace ourselves. But just thinking, we get guna. But just thinking, we can have neki, our niyak. Ulama Kiram explained, there are 5 stages in our thought. The first stage, where a thought just flashes in our mind. Hawajis, they call it. You're walking in the street. You're walking. A beautiful girl passed by. You don't pay attention to her. You just pass by. It didn't affect you. You got rid of it. Your gaze just fell on her. You're walking. That's the first stage. Hawajis. The second stage, oh, you show her sandal. What's happening now? Your mind is not on the girl, but something has clicked on the nafs, has settled on our nafs. This is called khatir. This is called khatir. Next stage now. This is how the process, our thought process works. The next stage now, you're worried. Were the shoes blue or yellow? Have I seen properly? Now you start making scheme on the shoes. Not on her, on the shoes. But deep in you, the nafs want to see her. Not the shoes, we want to see her. That's called hadithul nafs. At this level, there is no neki, no sawab, neither guna. But then, we went on one stage further now. We start plotting the thought. We start nurturing the thought, and the thought starts siding under one side. Hadithul nafs, we just have some scheme. You don't decide we must turn to look at her or we don't want to look at her. But now, one stage further now, hey, let me check her. Oh, no, Allah is watching me. If you make Allah is watching me, you get sawab for that. But if your heart has turned, no, let me check her. Guna. You get guna on that. Even you haven't looked at this woman, there's guna there. Then one stage further now, you make azam. This the fourth level was known as hum. This one is known as azam. Fukhta irada. I must check this girl. I saw her somewhere. Your nafs is playing with you now. Shaitan is playing with you now. I must know. I think I saw her. She was in university with me on campus. Or maybe I saw her somewhere. She's like my niece or maybe. Oh, there's a trick of shaitan. And the moment we make azam, pukhta irada, you have decided to turn and look at her. Or you have pukhta irada, I'm not going to look at her. Even though it is Miss World, we have make our decision. We get sawab for that, depending on which thought goes in our mind. These are the 5 stages that we are very, very conscious when we go in the path of tasawwuf. When we want to make our tazkiyah, this is a process that we have to understand to monitor our thought. Because at times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send tests on us. If there's all type of thought will come, if we don't understand the small, small things, easily we're going to be deviated. Either shaitan will take us away, or you will find our nafs will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all our effort will go in vain because of thought. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, that some of your thought is guna, is sin. Now, we'll find that at times we make ghibat of people in our thought, where we're going to be accountable on the day of Qiyamah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nurturing of thought. We don't say anything. We did not make ghibat with our tongue, but we make ghibat in our heart. This is very disastrous for our ruh. This is very disastrous for our iman. This is very disastrous for our spiritual progress. The thought, if we don't nurture it. At times, we get angry at home. We don't say nothing to our wife. But this mother-in-law, she didn't teach her to cook also. Now we are swearing our mother-in-law in our mind. This also is guna, if it's not been taught. Why we think negative? Think positive. Think our mother-in-law brought her up. She is not going and loaf with every Tom, Dick and Harry outside. Yeah, one day she didn't cook well, so what? Look at the good side of your wife and your mother-in-law, look after her properly. In a very nice bundle, dulhin she sent to your house. This is a way to look at it. Now that one shortcoming of hers, now we're going to make matam out of it. This again has to do with our thought process. How we nurture this thought is very, very important. This is why you'll find that many, many muhaddith have quoted this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that our actions will be based on our intention. And if we don't know how to nurture our intention, our action will break out on the day of Qiyamah. Our action will be thrown away on the day of Qiyamah if we do not know how to monitor our thought, our intention when we do things for the pleasure of Allah. Very, very important. From this, I won't get time to go and fiqh. The fuqaha have gone to detail. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, from the school of thought of Imam Shafi, Allama Subki has written a book, Al-Ashba wa Nazair. And Allama Suyuti has written, again, Al-Ashba wa Nazair. From the Hanafiya Ibn Nujaym has written. On this one hadith, they have written volumes. Volumes have been written by the fuqaha on the thought that goes in our mind. Masla over masla over masla over masla comes out from this hadith. Ajib, from one hadith of Rasulullah, because of thought that goes in our mind, volumes have been written. If there's all of us sitting our ass, will bear with me what I'm saying. I'm giving you the name of the books, go and check it. Even the Majalla al-Adaliya, which was written by the Ottoman to codify Islamic law, they have come with the five basic principles of Islamic jurisprudence, the principal legal maxims. The very first one is about intention. Al-umuru bi-maqasidiha. Everything will be according to the objection, the objective you want to reach, your intention. This is how important it is, brothers, our intention, our thought process to nurture it, how important it is. And this is why I've been telling you from the beginning, this training is very, very important that we sit in the sohbat of the Ahlul Jah. Very important to get the necessary training. We all are muhtaj of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the nuskha in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you believers, fear Allah. And to get this fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sit in the company of the truthful people. We must go and look for them. Our ego will tell that today, who is this wali of Allah? No, why are we so like this? If we think like this, in other words, we are denying the Quran. It is the word of Allah, the Quran. And the Quran is meant to be lost after the day of Qiyamah. Is the kalam of Allah, is the words of Allah. How can Allah lie? Allah can never lie. We must go and look for the people. Allah will create this type of people, and we must go and sit with those people and benefit from the sohbat. This is the main point. Sohbat, I mentioned it, and many scholars have mentioned about the quality of sohbat, sitting in the company. Sahaba kiram were so great scholars. I haven't got time to mention you that the knowledge of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, Hazrat Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anh, Zayd bin Sabit radiallahu anh, if I tell you the encyclopedic knowledge they had, it's unreal. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, once he was on the minbar, a person stood up and asked him a calculation, mathematics, on calculation of shares, and the minbar gave the answer. Where is the computer? Where is the computer? If you look at that, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Brothers, if the Mas'ud was such a genius, but when Kufa was being expanded, they needed a person of his caliber. When this was sent to the parliament in Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi was the parliament. People don't know the role of Masajid today's time. Masjid al-Nabawi was the parliament of the Islamic Empire. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, hey Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the people of Kufa, I'm sending you a person whom I need myself desperately here. I'm giving you priority over me. A person like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, whom the Prophet said to this effect, should there be a Prophet after me, is going to be Umar. Umar is telling us now that he needs Ibn Mas'ud. What was the caliber of Ibn Mas'ud? If you look at the evolution of fiqh, brothers, it's ajib. Ajib thing, if you look at the evolution of fiqh, you will find the far-sightedness, the firasat of Sahaba in fiqh. Rasul said, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min. If you read the life of Sahaba, you'll find that. But all the things they achieved, it, brothers, Rasul never called them mufti, Rasul never called them muhaddith, Rasul never called them mashaykh al-tasawuf. Allah says, Rasul says, these are my ashab. These are my ashab. Whoever loved them have loved me, whoever hates them hates me. Why ashab? Because they sit in my company. When they sit in my company, I have melted my personality into them. So up to the day of Qiyamah, this is the goes, this is Sahaba Kiram. Sitting the Sohbat, this is why the Sisila goes. If we want to make our nature, we must look for somebody who is very pious and train ourselves. Sitting like this is not going to train ourselves. There is a big debate. Allama Qushayri Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned in his Risala, and a lot of people have written on that. Should a person make safar to make his Islah? So that also, a lot of people have written on that. Books and books and books have been written. Our Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, Dama Barakatuhum, when we used to study Sahih al-Bukhari, our Dalum used to send us in Jamaat. This is something unique in the world, I think. I don't think any other, I don't know. Maybe there is, I don't know. He used to tell us to carry Bukhari Sharif in Jamaat. And in Jamaat, he will teach us Bukhari Sharif. And he will tell us, this is the Sunnah of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, to learn Bukhari in traveling. Ajib feeling. In Jamaat, we were doing Sahih al-Bukhari. Prabhupada Das was going in Jamaat. There is bahas on that. Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah, who was a great saint of Balkh, he became a great wali of Allah in traveling. There is big theory on that. This is why I'm telling you, maybe you say, why is this Mawlana saying go and learn? Because the great ulama have written books on that. Should a person travel? Should a person make suffer for his spiritual journey? Do we have to make physical journey with our body so that we can go on the spiritual journey of our ruh? There are books written on that. People like Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmullah, they were traveling from Balkh to Palestine, from Palestine to Makkah, Medina. He was traveling. Then you get others, like Judayd Baghdadi, rahmullah. He was not traveling, he was staying in one place. Then there are some who were traveling, and once they were on the path, when their old age was coming in, they could not travel so much, they were settling themselves in the spiritual journey. So there are three schools of thought on that, whether a person must travel to make his spiritual reform. But logic will tell us that a person will travel. Hijrah is the cornerstone of sacrifice in the life of a Muslim. Hijrah is a cornerstone. This is why when the Sahaba Kiram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ajma'in, during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, when Abu Musa al-Ashari sent a letter without date, he said, but we don't have a date there. How are we know when this letter came? And they decided to have a calendrical system, a calendar for Islam. They decided to opt. The calendar of Islam would start from the day Rasulullah s.a.w. made his hijrah. Why? Yet there were so many advanced calendrical systems, the Chinese system, the Hindu system, the Roman system. Yet the Sahaba Kiram, by ijma, by consensus, they opted for the hijrah of Rasulullah s.a.w. so that every year the Muslim reminds the struggle, the spiritual aspect of striving in the path of Allah, to struggle, to travel for deen. This is why Allama Shalbi rahmatullah alayh has written 3 volumes on this topic, Al-Muwafaqat. That if you look at the maqasid of Sharia, what are the objectives of Sharia? The objectives of Sharia, if you analyze it, I'm going to tell you that, I'm going to stop, time is over. First is hifazat of deen. This is why Sharia says you go in jihad and be killed. Deed is more important than our life. Then, once your deen is protected, the next one is life. And this masla goes like it's masla of abortion and all the things. There are many masla comes out of it. Then once you protect your life, the next thing you protect is your intellect. Don't drink alcohol, don't be intoxicant, don't misbehave. Control your nurture, your way of thinking also. Your intellect. Protect this intellect. You'll find, if you look at all the ayahs, Quran, all the ahadith, this is the cream that comes out of Sharia. The cream of Sharia I'm giving you now. All the fuqaha have accepted this. Once this is protected, the next one Sharia tells you to protect is your nasal, your progeny. Don't make zina. Ensure that there is a pure blood in your generation. fast of Qiyamah will be when the illegitimate children will take leadership, the reign of leadership. This is a hadith, Sahih hadith, I'm telling you. And finally, your wealth, protection of wealth. This is the pyramid of the Maqasid Sharia. What are the objectives of Sharia? If you look at Sharia, it rotates around those five things. And all the masla comes from there. It cascades from those five principles. So one of it is your intellect. The hifazat of intellect, to nurture the intellect, the thought process, is one of the maqsad of Sharia. Ulama Kiram has written books and books and volumes on what is aqal, what is the intellect, what is the brain. If there is a brain, it is the intellect in. There are three, on this also, there are three schools of thought among the ulama. Some ulama say your intellect is in the heart. Some say the intellect is in the brain. Some say the intellect is in the ruh. And each one got a dalail for that. So, whatever be the case, this is not our, this is the academic discussion among the ulama and the fuqaha. We don't get that. The point is, it is so important. This is what the ulama have gone in detail to protect our intellect, to protect our thoughts, to make sure good thoughts come in our mind. This is an ibadat in itself. The moment we go to sleep, what thought comes in our mind? Last week we talked about muraqabah al-maut, if you remember. Why are all those training given to us? To control our mind. Last week we talked how when we wake up in the morning, we must canalize our thought, how to spend our day. Again, this is to focus our attention, our thought. There must be a golden thread, what we want to do, like a magnet. This is what we are supposed to do. The moment it deviates, the magnet pulls it. This is the objective, how I want to pass my day today. This is how it's important to control our thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to control our thought. And let us think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in our heart. Don't make zikr loud in the house of Allah. Respect the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يا الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع الخلائق يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد جعل لكل ما منك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وبلاغنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر قنا عذاب الدين واشفنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وبلغنا علما نافعا ورزقا وافعا وحلالا وطيبا عمل صالحا ومشقت له وشفاء البلدان وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وخلقا حميدا. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر الآخرة. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة بغير حساب. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة بغير حساب. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة بغير حساب يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان ولك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين. Thank you.